I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello, welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, and wherever you're listening from, thank you for being with me today, and happy 2014. So this year, I want the show to really be all about how I can serve you and how we can serve the world and the people that we care about. So this year, I really want to have a lot of feedback from you about what's going to serve you the most. My email address is spiritualshow@gmail.com, and you can find me on Twitter, Marie Bernard, or my website, spiritualshow.com. So please do get in touch with me and tell me about the things that you really want to know and that are going to be of value to you, because your time is valuable. Spending an hour with me each week, I really appreciate the time that you spend and the support that you provide me. And I really want to make sure that you are getting as much value, whether it's entertainment, education, inspiration, whatever it is that you need from me. Please do communicate that so that I can pass that on to you, because I really want to be of service to you this year. So today's guest, hopefully she will also be of service. I know she is a lovely person. We're friends on Facebook. Her name is Jennifer Urezio, and she is at nosoulslanguage.net. That's her website. And she is a coach and a spiritual teacher, and she has developed something called soul languages. So we're going to find out what that is today and how it can serve you. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! Thank you. I love how enthusiastic you are.
You caught me on a good day.
Oh, good. Yay. Well, and all your posts about the show on Facebook and stuff were really enthusiastic, so thank you for that. I had a hard holiday season, so bringing the enthusiasm is a bit of a challenge for me some days. And so that's why I'm so excited to have you here, because your soul language is, it's helping people connect to their intuition. So can you tell us what soul language is and how you came to this discovery?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, several years ago, I kept asking God, and that's what I call my higher power, okay, God, listen, I know what my life purpose is, but what the heck do I do with powerful healer and teacher of service in the spotlight? And where are my peeps? I am tired of feeling alone. And I went to this conference, and this woman sat next to me and went, we're going to be friends. And I went, I totally get that. And I said to myself, like, why her? Why this woman and not the woman across from me who looks really nice, but I really don't care if I ever see that woman again. And what I heard through divine inspiration was soul language. And of course, me being me, I kept asking questions. And what kind of sussed out through the whole thing is that we each speak three languages of soul: your mission, how you fuel that mission, and then your soulful personality, or how your soul prefers to go through life. And so what soul language really does is it puts words to what we all know deep down inside. It allows us accessibility to the soul. It makes it not so scary, so we can have this really deep, conscious conversation with ourselves to create the life that we want, to live in joy, to live in divine inspiration. And so that's how it came about, and that's a little bit about what it does.
Cool. Well, that actually brings up a question. I'm so glad that you shared that story, because I've been thinking about this over the holidays, and I can be quite critical of myself, as we all can be. And a while back, I had attended a workshop on interview skills, and the person, she was a woman from the CBC, and she knows this guy, George Strompolopoulos. He has a really famous nighttime talk show in Canada on television. And she said that the thing about him, if you ever have a chance to meet him, is that when you speak with him, You feel like you're the only person in the world. He has that ability to make you feel like you're just so important to him in that moment. And I really want to have that skill because I feel like it's, I want the same thing that you said. I want to connect with more people. Like, I know so many people, but I'm curious what, you know, like that one woman who connected to you, and it could have been any woman. Is there a way for us to be able to connect on that level with everyone that we meet?
Yeah, there's definitely a way. And I think the first part of it is being without judgment, being in the consciousness of love. You know, we hear a lot about unconditional or conditional love. There's no such thing as unconditional or conditional love. If you're in the consciousness of love, you're in the consciousness of love. If you're in something else, you're in some other level of consciousness. So the first real connection, that real openness, that willing to accept, that willing to just discover, to really be engaged with someone, really comes from a real solid foundation of feeling deep love for yourself. So you want to try an exercise?
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please.
So I want you just to, everyone just to take a deep breath. And a lot of times we don't really connect with someone because we're not fully engaged in our body. So just look around the room, okay? And then close your eyes, and I'm going to take you on a very brief meditation. And then when I say open your eyes, you'll open your eyes. So here
if you're, if you're driving, please keep your eyes open.
That's true. Yeah, please. So just take a deep breath and just ask divine intelligence. This is your body. Ask divine intelligence to align body and soul, to fully ground you in your body, knowing it's safe to fully connect and engage, to fully be present, and to fully experience all of the love around you. And when you're ready, just open your eyes. And more than likely, what you will notice is that the room around you or wherever you are is a little sharper, looks a little more real. Hmm. You're now fully integrated in your body. And in order to connect, you can't be in your head somewhere, or you can't be thinking about your past or in the future, or worrying about your shopping list, or, you know, where the next meal's going to come from, you know. Really, you've got to be present. Miracles happen in the present. What was your experience of that?
I did notice it was a little bit sharper. I wasn't quite ready to open my eyes. I took a little bit extra time, but being the host, I have to pay attention too. I'm still feeling some judgment because I've been feeling sadness lately. Had another breakup over the holidays, and so I'm really needing to connect to that place of just really being present, because I find myself ruminating, and then I judge myself for ruminating because I know better than to do that, but I'm having a hard time. So I'm wondering if there's someone like myself who's maybe not even, I mean, I definitely got benefit from that exercise, but is there a precursor to that if you need even more clearing?
Yeah. So just take a deep breath. And I'm going to say a statement, and you just allow your body to do what it's naturally going to do. So divine intelligence, fill my body with the feeling and knowing that I am without judgment, that I can feel and still carry out everything I want to in my life, that I am perfect, whole, and complete just where I am in my journey. Now, over here, I felt this little lift off your chest, like a little wave.
I felt, as I was listening, I felt tears coming close to the surface. And but then as you were saying, you know, I can feel and still go about my day and still be in the world. And that's sort of what I'm working on integrating right now, is feeling my feelings and still knowing that even if I feel sad, even if I feel like crying, I can go about my day and I can interact. And because one of the things I'm really open and gregarious and can connect deeply with people when I'm feeling good. But when I'm not, I'm much more shut down. And I really want to get to the place where I'm able to connect with anyone, no matter my mood or my feelings.
So then I would say simply have a willingness for that to be, that you don't have to do anything. Often we try to do all of the heavy lifting, right? And I don't know about you, but the most powerful force in the universe is that divinity, God, you know, whatever you want to call it. That force can move mountains in my own life and in everything else. So, you know, I've been taking singing lessons for the last year, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done. I've done some hard things, but it's hard. And this past weekend, I'm on stage, and I've gotten through the song. I've been in tune. You know, I didn't freak out, and everyone's like, "You rock," and I'm finally getting the wow that I wanted. And my teacher, who's absolutely brilliant, says, "Okay, that was great. Now let's do that upfront part again." And she made me do it again and again because I was pronouncing this word weird. And I'm like, I freaked out. I'm like, I can't do this. Like, you're criticizing me, blah, blah, blah. Like, here I am, a spiritual leader, and I'm throwing a fit. And she went, "Good. Breakdown. Move past this. Have a fit. Do the tantrum, because on the other side is the gold." And we so often stuff what we're feeling, stuff the pain, stuff what our soul is saying, because we're afraid of what it all might mean. And if you just have a willingness just to go, okay, I'm going to just have a willingness to be where I am and know in that honesty of being that I'm going to connect with everyone. You know, I happen to have one of those energies and one of those faces where I'll be in a foreign country. I remember being in Russia and somebody came up to me and asked me directions in Russian. And I'm like, okay, I know what you're saying, but I don't know how to tell you where to go because I'm like this, I'm just off the boat here. You know, it's just that willingness. Just the willingness alone will allow you to connect. And then let it go. Because let the divine do the heavy lifting for you.
Thank you. I really like that. Well, we are talking right now with Jennifer Urezio, and she is at nosoulslanguage.net if you want to get in touch with her. And if you have a question, are you okay taking questions, Jennifer?
I love questions.
Okay. 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487 if you want to get on the air and ask Jennifer a question. So I wanted to know, you mentioned your voice teacher. Who've been some of your greatest teachers in life?
I firmly believe that you can learn, and I do learn, from everyone and everything. But the high points have been my nephews. God, they teach me stuff all the time. The oldest, who's a nephew, who's not technically a nephew, but we call him nephew. I remember sitting on the beach and wrestling with the beach chair. And he's like, "Aunt Jenny Rizzio, what's wrong?" I go, "I'm fighting with myself." And he's like, "Who's winning?" And I went, "No one." And it was such a profound moment for me about how much I fight with myself, especially like one of my soul languages, that soulful personality, is called Graceful Warrior. And I can really be at war with myself. And I know this. And I know that the conscious part of it, which is such bliss, being in that grace, and the struggle part. So that was a profound moment. Beth Davis, who is a hand analysis expert, she's the one that put me on the road with my life purpose. She said, "This is your life purpose." I spoke at her conference, which was a fluke, because there was supposed to be a lot of people speaking, and it was just me. And I went home with a bunch of clients, and people were lining up to talk to me, and it was such a bizarre and amazing experience. Reverend Frankie Timmers, who is the reverend at the Center of Spiritual Mind here in Morristown, New Jersey, I have a spiritual crush on her. I'm very transparent about that because she's so just open about what she experiences. And she's one of those people that sees the beauty in everyone and everything. So those are a couple. I think what really impacts me with a teacher for me is someone who is very strong, because I can be very full of courage, and that can just plainly, very lovingly and very compassionately put me on a different step than I was going to take. Not by telling me, but by showing me that I knew all along that it was there. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, that was brilliant. Thank you. I have so many questions for you, and it's one of the things that I need to work on is more focus, because I kind of go all over the place asking a question here and here and here. But I'm really curious, you know, on your website, you have some things that with your soul's net language, you will discover your mission, develop your intuition, all of these things. And so I would like to talk about some tips on how to do those, some of those things. But I have been studying with Erickson College to be a life coach, or a form of, we do solution-focused coaching. And I know that you do coaching. So I'm just curious if what's unique about the coaching that you do compared to everyone else out there?
I love that question. And I joke around because when I graduated with high school, which was a very long time ago, my mom gave me this dictionary / thesaurus. That's how long it goes, where you actually didn't have online, you had a dictionary, right? And in that dictionary thesaurus, which I still have, the word coach does not appear in that dictionary. And I always joke because the word coach is not in my dictionary. What I do is I help spiritual innovators, individuals that feel like they have a really big message to connect deeper to the divine. And as I say that, my back door suddenly opens by itself, which cracks me up. So what I do is I help people really connect to their own divinity, to their own expression of that divinity. And all I do is ask really good questions and give them the opportunity to hear their voice. So I think that's the way I'm different. I'm also really laser-focused. What is so powerful about soul language is that I often hear, oh, my God, I've gone to therapy for like 20 years, and it's all released in 15 minutes, because it's so right to the core of who you are. And, again, I'm not doing the heavy lifting. We're letting the divine do the heavy lifting. So in stepping into that full consciousness of love, things just tend to evaporate. So I think those are some of the ways I differ. Also, I think soul language differs because it's a practice that can be integrated with any practice you're already utilizing. And what it does is just put some words to what you know, which what you already know deep down inside. And I hear time and time again from people, oh, my God, you just gave me the words to what I've been saying, but was kind of unclear about it. Or, oh, my God, I have permission now to be who I am. I don't have to try to be anyone else. I spent 17 years in marketing and PR in corporate America. And I was great as a manager. I was horrible managing up. And I was, you know, I would ask my managers, can I have that pen? And they'd be like, why are you so aggressive? And for years, I denied this warrior aspect of myself. I hated it. It was such a painful portion of who I was. And the moment I fully accepted it, I remember, because I was, my former employer, who's my best friend, said, listen, my leader just went out on maternity leave, like 6 weeks early. She just had the baby, and I just need someone to come and help me. I was like, sure, you know, I'll just stop by, you know, answer the phones, do whatever needs to be done, you know, so things can be wrapped up. And I picked up the phone, I answered the phone, and I said, blah, 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 and they said, blah, 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 and I twisted over to Erin, and I hear Erin goes, yeah, that's Jennifer. Yeah, yeah, that is her. Yep. I was like, what is all that about? And she's like, they said that you sound so happy and not angry and you were so friendly. And I think that soul language gives people that ability to finally go, yeah, this is me, and I chose it, and I had my back, and I'm not going to let anyone tell me that it's wrong. So that's a very long answer to your question.
No, that's the next. I was going to ask you about your ideal client, but that talking about your soul mission and who you are and your purpose and the language and being that warrior, I'd like to get deeper into, like, how I know someone, the palm reader Beth Davis, told you your life purpose, but how do other people find that and fuel their mission, and how do you work with people? You mentioned that you ask great questions. What are some of the other techniques that you use to help people?
Beautiful. So how we determine soul language, me or another practitioner, because I train people now, is through therapeutic kinesiology or muscle testing. And that means, with a person's permission, my body becomes the pendulum on your soul's behalf. And so it's all done energetically. And we go down a number sheet, and we get a yes response to a number in three of the categories. And that's how we identify your soul languages. Then, so let's just say, for example, that you're a pioneer. Let's just say, for example.
Okay.
Pioneers, very top line, consciously forge new roads for themselves or others. Unconsciously, or in struggle, they feel unsupported, they have trouble completing roads, and they kind of have that bright, shiny object syndrome.
Is this the psychic thing that you're picking up about me? Because that sounds a lot like me.
So how I work with people is to go, okay, let's take some areas of your life where you're feeling like you're not getting what you want, or you feel disconnected from source. And let's talk about how to move from the unconscious or struggle to the conscious. And we do it via energetics. We do it by asking good questions. We do it by exercises, because I love exercises. I'm really tangible. And so if something's not going to be integrated into my daily life, how is it going to be integrated into anyone else's daily life that I work with? So I have tons of exercises I use and tons of products, anything from like the butterfly method that talks about your creative process to the Merlin method about how to take a product from start to finish. And I created these because I was just noticing gaps in my own creativity and in my own process. For example, I have a question for you. Did you walk, did you crawl, or did you go from sitting to walking?
When I was a baby?
Yeah.
My mom told me I used to bounce on my bum to get around. And I don't know, yeah, she's not alive to ask for more details, but I know that before I crawled, that's how I got around. I would, like, scoot.
Okay. So right there, you told me a couple of things. One, you've invented a whole new way of getting around, right? So you're always going to want to go for the whole new way. That's great, but then you have to work with that. And where does that hold you up in your relationships? Where is that holding you up in what you want to create? Because if you're to always want to find a new way of doing something, and you keep trying to do it like so-and-so, you're always going to fail. Because you need to find your own way, because you're an innovator. There's no other way around it. And so modeling for you is all it's going to be is looking over all of the stuff, all of the structure, and going, oh, I like that structure, let's pull that. Oh, I like that structure, let's pull that. Oh, and something new has to be created here. Let's do that. So often we're trying to put ourselves in this square peg when we're like this great, big, beautiful, like heart-shaped, you know, little being, and it doesn't work. So that's how I help people. And then whatever, you know, whatever else comes out of my mouth. There, many a day will be, okay, so I've never done this before, but this is what I'm hearing, so let's just go with it. And one of the things that I'm really good at, which it took me so long to admit that I was really good at, was I can hear a person what they're saying that they do and what they want to do and help them express it better. And that's that 17 years in marketing, and if you can tell energetically I'm rolling my eyes, that 17 years in marketing and PR. I just happen to think that way in sound bites. So it's a kind of eclectic mix of amazing stuff, and now I'm working, I guess I am. So now I'm working on, you know, integrating the voice more and, you know, all of my life as a gift, I'd be able to hear what someone's saying with their voice or what they're not saying. And now I'm working with clients to actually match that frequency of vibration with their voice. And so, you know, there's an exercising in singing where we go all the way up. And in doing that, voice places where your voice cracks, that's where your voice has to expand. Well, we do that all the time when we're talking about what we do. We're just not aware of it. Mm. So I'm helping people kind of really fine-tune that divine voice so all the wonkiness doesn't happen for them. And that's just about stepping out of their own way and remembering that they're whole and complete.
So, Jennifer, can I get some clarification with the voice? Are you saying that when people speak about their dreams and their passions and things they want to do, that their physical voice actually cracks?
Well, not so much as the average bear would hear it, but the way I hear it sometimes is a cracking, yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes when someone's talking about something, they'll start to cough or clear their voice. And that will also tell me that they have some sort of divine voice problem. So if audience members, if you find that you're clearing your throat a lot during when you have to say something, you're really uncomfortable with it. That's, you know, oh, let's just do that. Do you want to do that? Okay. Ready to do another exercise?
Okay.
Okay. So if you're driving, you're going to have to do this one later. So I want you just to take a deep breath, close your eyes. Put your hand on your throat and say your name and feel how it feels.
Should I do that now?
Yes, please.
Marie.
Oh, do you hear how that sounded, everyone? It was like luscious and like almost like you were eating chocolate. Okay? So I want you to take a deep breath and I want you to say something about yourself that you know to be true.
Wow, I'm thinking, I love animals.
Okay. So, did you feel the difference when you said, I love?
It was softer.
There was a skipping of it.
Really?
Yeah. So, I would say, let's work on your love for yourself. What does love mean? And we would really move deeper into them. Because every time then you say, I love, there's going to be a skipping. And how do we get that so it sounds like when you said your voice? I mean, when you said your voice, it was like oodles of like sensuality and it was just yummy. Right? Everything that you get to say about yourself, who you are, can be that way. And then there's the extreme case, right, when we say something that we think we believe and we don't, and how the voice feels different and how it wobbles. And for people who've been on the spiritual journey like us, right, and most of your listeners, we can really be a bit of a trickster about it because we're smart. We can outsmart ourselves. And, of course, we're supposed to know because we've studied and we have our tools.
Yep.
Right? And I really know that the more I know, the more I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be, I know, I know. Until God decided, yeah, let's see. You know, it's about really just being this vast openness of going, let's discover about this. How does this really add to the experience of who I am? What is this experience trying to guide me toward or show me? And the simplest thing that we can do every day is just make the decision in every experience, do I want to feel separate from my higher power, or do I want to feel closer to my higher power? Because anything that you feel separate about is going to be struggle and painful.
Thank you, Jennifer. That's actually bringing up another question for me with this higher power. When I try to connect with my higher power, I have trouble with the name. Because I come from my mother was Catholic and kind of had it shoved down my throat, and it was crazy. And so God sort of has a weird connotation, but then when I say source, it feels kind of flaky and airy fairy, and God, I don't know. And there's all these, every time I say the word, I'm like, God, source, universal energy, you know, inner being. And it's like so hard for me to even know just what to call it. I mean, maybe I should just call it Bob.
I love this question. And it's often what I also help clients with. So for years, I would call that thing Master Planner. Hmm. And then one day I was just talking, and I was like, God. And I was like, oh, my God, look what I just did. And often we overlay our connection with whatever that is with our relationship that we have with our parents. So any parent that abandoned you, you're going to have that trouble with that higher power. So the first step I would say in someone in your position is, what kind of relationship do you want with that higher power? And what do you get to clear to claim whatever name you want as your own? And more than likely, unfortunately, it's probably going to be God. And here's why. Because you did grow up Catholic, and because it was started early, and it was integrated, and somewhere in your being, that name resonates. You just got to claim it as your own. And you know what? You could call that higher power Bob. It doesn't matter to Bob. It only matters what you call it for you. So put the name aside, and let's talk about what kind of relationship you want with that higher power. What are you going to ask of that higher power? What is your commitment with that relationship? Like, I'm committed to having my God moment. You know, there's a great book called E2 where she gives you lab experiments where she says, Pam says, okay, in 48 hours, I want proof that you exist. Show up. And it's not to, like, you know, curse God or, you know, put God to the test, but it's showing up all the time. We just don't pay attention. So a couple questions that you and audience members can ask is, what kind of relationship do I want here? What am I willing to do? What am I asking that higher power to do? What I'm willing to let go of, meaning, am I willing to let go of the struggle? Am I willing to trust? And then just sit down and go, what else do you want me to know about this relationship? And remember that this isn't your parent. This higher power is not going to abandon you. It's not going to tell you you're not worthy or whatever angst we have or had with our parents. It's not that way. And often we just take that relationship and put it towards our higher power. And do you have a headset on, by the way, Marie?
Headphones, yes.
Brilliant. Okay. So I want everyone, if you're driving, don't do this. I want everyone to take their hands together and rub them together until they start to get a little hot. And then you're going to take them apart, and you're going to feel that ball of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you felt that ball of energy, I want you to then again, go up over your head until you can feel the ball of energy over your head. And your hands might have to expand, or they might have to come in a little. But when you felt it, let me know, okay?
I don't feel, I feel like I'm doing it wrong.
You're not.
They, like,
it's there.
With my hands above my head, okay, I have to warm them up again.
You know, you can feel that little ball of energy, right? How mm-hmm. they, like, the magnets with your hands.
Yes.
Okay. Now I want you to say something really crappy about yourself.
I'm stupid.
And watch what the energy does. Can you feel it move in a little?
No. I don't know if I'm sensitive enough to feel it.
Okay, let's do it a better way. I want
Sorry.
You to say something great about yourself.
I'm amazing.
Did you notice the chain in the ball of energy?
I did a little bit, yeah.
Yay! Okay, so you just felt your string to God. Divine, universe, a tree, we don't care. Bob. Okay? That string is always there. It's our perception. When we say something, when we walk away from that divine connection, the energy shrinks. It doesn't go away. Our perception, our frequency of being in that energy just changes. So anytime that you don't feel that you're connected, you can just check the string above your head.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. I actually have another question about that. When you were saying the questions of, like, am I willing to let go of, and what am I willing to do? The question that came up for me is, what should I be willing to do? Do I have to do some kind of work? Like,
absolutely no, nothing. There's no shoulds. But often we carry around stuff that's actually preventing us from feeling that string to God in a deeper way. Divine Bob, right? So one of the things that I have never been willing to let go of up until the last year is control. Mm. I had a death grip on control. Okay? But in order to really express my voice fully, I can't control. I have to let it come out. And it's scary as all hell. And so, me, the divine, Lorraine, my coach, we've been breaking down control. So I know in order to have this deeper relationship with myself, everyone on this planet, and the divine, I got to let go of control. But I don't have to. There's no shoulds. So instead of making this black and white for yourself, just see what happens. You know, and if you hear nothing, great. Or you can activate something. What do you get to turn on in yourself, like a superpower that's already there, to have a closer relationship with God or Bob or the divine? You know. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. Do you have, I know one of the things that you do with Soul's Language is you quiet your inner critic or critics. And let go of the I should know betters. So are you willing to share a tip or two to help with that?
Of course. Love it. Okay. So you guys all know the drill by now. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. Connect to your soul. If you know your soul languages, do that connection. They're one and the same. If you don't know how to do that, just let go. Get on the bus with me. Now, I want you to have your soul give that critic in your head, you know, that loop that you hear time and time again, whether it's I'm not good enough, whether it's I'm a failure, whether I don't know, whatever it is, a visual representation of that critic. Now, when I did this exercise, my big things are fear and doubt. And I get a lot of 1950s references. I do not know why, but that's my database. So there I am, and like Dick Cavett on the Dick Cavett Show, and fear and doubt look like Laurel and Hardy. And I, as Dick Cavett, goes, so, Fear, are you going to leave Jennifer alone? And Fear goes, nope, I doubt it. And I turn to Doubt, and I go, Doubt, are you going to leave Jennifer alone? And Doubt goes, nope, I fear it. And I thought, how could I take these two seriously? When you have a physical representation of that critic, then you can determine what you want to do with it. You're calling out the monster underneath the bed. So would you like to share what your critic looks like or feels like?
I had an image of that. I think his name's Smeagol, the one who's in Lord of the Rings with the ring. He's like, my precious.
Icky.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just talk about that character for a moment. Right? That character's obsessed. That character's in pain. That character desperately wants something that it loves. And so how do you combat that critic? By just loving. I heard what you said. I love you anyway. And we're going to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If you have to kind of do that exercise, if you have to look your physical representation of your critic in the face 100 times and go, yep, I heard what you said. I love you anyway. I know you're trying just to support me, but we're going to do it this way. You do it 100 times. If you have to do it 100 times a minute, you do it 100 times a minute. People kind of think that, oh, you know, okay, so we're going to use this tool and then, poof, the journey's going to be over. No, it's a continual practice because you're going to get to a certain level and you're going to be kind of in your zone and then you're going to want to, the soul's going to want to go bigger. So now that you have this critic, this visual critic in the head, you don't have to take it so seriously. Or you could start to see that character in originally its original form, which was probably beautiful, right? He got that way from years of playing with that ring. Did that support you?
It did. I'm. It's interesting to have a visual representation of that now, and it also brought up another question for me, which is you mentioned how we use a tool and we want it to work indefinitely, and that is one of the things I struggle with, especially when I'm feeling sad or I'm going through some kind of traumatic loss or something, which I've had quite a few stresses in the past few months, and I get frustrated because I'll do it again and again and again and again, and it just keeps coming back. Like every 30, I could literally like do, if I was disciplined enough or whatever, and I would need to be able to do that. I could literally do affirmations all day long, some days, and as soon as I stopped, the feeling would come back. And so I'm just wondering, with so many practices and schools of thought, and you know, do a yoga, an hour of meditation in the morning, and then do an hour of yoga, and then do your affirmations, and do all this. Like, nobody has time to do all of the things that we're told we should do. So how do you pick the things that you can actually are going to be practical for you to use, that you're going to be able to implement into your life so it's not a hardship and you can actually function in the world? How do you do that?
I pick a practice for mind, body, and spirit. So, and I change up my practices. So the least amount of practice each day is simply sitting down with yourself for at least a minute and going, okay, let's just fill my body with the knowing that I'm loved and supported. And what does my soul, what does Bob want me to know today? And then you move on. That's the simplest practice I do. The most complex is an affirmation or journaling or singing or whatever. But I change up my practices every day. I don't do the same practice 2 days in a row because I'm an innovator. I like different things. And when a tool isn't working the way I want it to work, then that's a conversation for me and my soul. Meaning, okay, why isn't this working? Why do I still not feel whole and complete? And it's more than likely because those affirmations or whatever you're doing aren't hitting the seed of the issue. They're hitting all the branches. So you cut down the branch and the seed's still there, so it's still growing. And that's not to kind of make yourself bad or to put yourself in conflict. It's just a pattern. It's just a programming that we get to dissolve and let go of. Also, people really need to listen to their gut. They need to listen to what resonates with them and what resonates in the moment, you know, because the best release I've ever had was a laugh. So contagious that I had to leave the room because that speaker was off the stage and I couldn't stop laughing. So, you know, it's really about tuning in, and when all else fails, I simply go, okay, God, I don't know what to do, so I'm handing it over, and you're just going to, I have a willingness, and you're just going to send something my way. And what will happen normally is, you know, because in those moments I'm usually watching TV, you know, somebody will say something on a show, and I'll be like, oh, my God, God just spoke through the TV. You know, and it's that. Or I'll be riding in the car and you know, I'll hear three songs in a row where I'm like, okay, I got it. What was it the other day? Oh, the other day, three different songs in a row came on with the words hold on in the song. And I went, okay, God, I hear you. Like, you don't have to, like, you don't have to come down and sit in the car with me. Like, I get it. It's just about being, it's activating that childlike willingness to see everything and not judge it. And to see the infinite possibility. And sometimes, in spiritually aware individuals, that's hard because we get ingrained in our practice and we forget the real reason why we want to be connected. And if you don't know, that's a really great question to ask yourself. Why do you want to be connected to your higher power, divine? I love Bob, by the way. Bob. You know, why? Why are you seeking that? And then really start there, because that's going to determine your practice. There's clients that I put on a, you know, kind of spiritual fast. Like, please do not look for any more how to do this. And please stop reading the books. And please stop listening to the rate. Like, stop. Start to listen to yourself. Because we can often look outside ourselves for answers when we just need to pause and listen. So I hope that answers your question.
It does, and it makes, I'm just thinking, God, you sound like you have it all together. I feel like such a hot mess 90% of the time. And I feel like so many of us who are spiritually seeking are doing so because there's something missing within us or within our lives. Otherwise, we wouldn't be seeking.
So I'm going to reframe that.
Okay.
I think we're spiritually seeking because we love the moment of bliss. We love that feeling. And we want to have that feeling, that God moment, you know, that moment where you know, oh, my God, someone's really looking out after me. Wow. More and more. So I don't think, yes, it can be viewed as something missing, but I know that it's viewing for something to remember. And I'm not all together. You should have seen me on Saturday when I was crying on the stage during my singing lesson going, I'm not going to do this. You know, it's just, I firmly believe that the divine's got my back. And what I do, why I'm here, is to let people know that they don't have to struggle with that. And so it's just a constant reminder. And I remind myself 24/7. So you're not a hot mess. You're just sad. And that can coat everything, feeling different. You know, when I get hungry, this is what I'm going to kind of compare it to, not flippant in any way. When I get hungry, everything turns to crap. So if I get hungry and I stub my toe, it's the worst. I'm already hungry. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. That's what sadness is doing. And often what we're so afraid of is we're afraid of feeling that pain. We are afraid of feeling not enough or that being true, that we fight it 24/7 and it causes the suffering. And often people are afraid to feel because they think that they're not going to get up, that it's going to consume them like a forest fire. And all the people I know and everyone I've come in contact with are much stronger than that. And I always tell clients to think of emotion like waves, not the waves where they break, where, you know, they knock you over, but the waves where you go way out, and it's just like this little blip that you go up and it goes over. Now, sometimes that happens, and I get nauseous, right? I'm like, whoa, that was a big one. But it never knocks you over. It never consumes you. It goes through you. And when we start to view feelings that way, as supportive rather than something to be in conflict with, you can utilize them for what they're here to help you with and provide you with. It's all divinity. And I'll promise the next time I feel like I'm going to throw away my job and become a bartender, I'll give you a call. But I know even if I do that I'm still going to be doing what I'm doing today. Just now, then I'm going to have to sling drinks too. So there's no way out of being your purpose. And that's another thing why soul language is so powerful. Because purpose is not about doing in soul language. It's about being. And people have been being their purpose since the moment they've been conceived. Mm. We can talk about what the delivery system of that purpose is after, but when you finally accept the being of your purpose, my purpose here, my soul language in that category is called equalizer. It's all about creating the perfect formula balance for myself and for others. I've had entire jobs. I was actually paid to literally hold someone's hand as they went through a situation. In corporate America, can you just hold my hand? Okay, you're paying. Yep, just hold my hand when I do this. Okay. Right? So I'm always been my purpose. Mm. It's just allowing that to be expressed clearer and louder and with a lot less struggle. You know, I think, and I really hope that some of my really good friends are listening to this because they're going to laugh. I am really serious. I tend to make things really serious. And it's just not that serious. It's just really not. And, you know, so the more lightness, especially as a warrior, that I can bring to situations, the more that I can go, oh, wait, yeah, we've been here before. Okay, so we got through that, and we know this is just a blip. And establishing that deep connection, because when we rely on the highs, the lows are really low then. But when you rely on that deep inner bliss, that deep connection, it all is just is. It's just another experience. And so it brings a lot of balance to things.
Mm. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, we just have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to put your website out there again. We are speaking right now with Jennifer Urezio?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, Jennifer Urezio, and you can find her at nosoulslanguage.net. And that's souls with an S, nosoulslanguage.net, K K-N-O-W, not N-O. K-N-O-W.
You can also do it at soullanguage.us.
Oh, well, that's easier. Soullanguage.us. And she has lots of products and tips and tools and a book as well and so much information on her site. So you can check her out there. And I have a few questions. We don't have enough time for all of them. So I usually say, what would you like to spend the last few minutes on? I'm also going to put out, I wanted to ask you, what do you know now that you wish you'd known then at some point in your life? And how, or how do you believe in that, that the universe or God has your back, and maybe those things are somehow connected?
Yeah, I think they are very, they're one and the same, actually. You know, I spend a good amount of my life thinking or believing that I was not worthy. And you know, when you really understand that you are this light, this shining beacon, you know, even if you're just, you know, a librarian, and I don't mean that just, but you know what I mean, or, you know, you don't feel like you have any great grand purpose, blah, 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 everyone on this planet is this beacon of light. And I spent so many years thinking that I wasn't that. And if I could tell my younger self, hey, listen, that's in your head, you know, here's the truth. You are love. You are loved. You are supported. I think my younger self would tell me to curse me out, but it would have saved me time, but I wouldn't be who I am today. And the way that I know that the divine has my back is there's just so many examples. There's so many examples. That one of the most amazing examples was a couple of years ago. I was having a really bad time, really bad time. And I met a former client who's a friend for lunch. And we were having lunch. She goes, oh, I have something for you. And I was like, Prezzies? I love Prezzies. She goes, well, kind of. She handed me this envelope. And in it was a check. And I went, what is this for? She goes, I'm just tithing to you because you've just impacted my life. And it was just, oh, my God, like the things that had to happen and divine had to inspire for that to happen was just astounding to me. And a really very long time ago representation of that is, you know, I got hit by a car. I got hit by a car, a taxi that was going 55 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I walked away with a bruise. And the woman that was on the sidelines, who was a friend of mine who saw the thing, said, you look like you were picked up in the air and put back down on your feet. And if that's not a representation that I'm being taken care of, I don't know what is. And I want everyone to create a list of these moments, these miracles that happen in your life. So when you think that you're alone, you can remind yourself how you're not. Because those are the moments where you have to remember your connection. Not when things are going great. It's easy to do it then. It's when things are rough that to remind yourself, to feel that, to know that connection. That's when it's really important.
Mm. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Soulslanguage.us, is that what it is?
Yep.
Soulslanguage.us. Thank you so much. It's been such a powerful hour. I really appreciate your time, and I'm sure that listeners were moved as well. So thank you so much for being with us today, and Happy New Year.
You too. My honor and my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'll stay in touch with you. So have a wonderful
Perfect.
Day. Thanks. So that was Jennifer Urezio, and you can find her at soulslanguage.us if you want to get in touch with her or check out some of her work or books or anything that you're interested in accessing there. And again, I really want 2014 to be a year of my service to you. So please do stay in touch. Service and connection. I want to have a deeper connection with you. So please do email me, spiritualshow@gmail.com, if you have suggestions for the show. And if you found today's show of value in some way, please do share it with someone who you think might also value it. And I just want to send again, as I always do, my love to you. Happy, happy new year. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Om shanti, shanti, shanti.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue. Exploding Head Movies, Monday, 7-9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Thanks to Scott!